ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। कृष्ण टुडे रीडिंग श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 9 मदर यशोदा वाइंड्स लॉर्ड कृष्ण टेक्स्ट 13 एंड 14 न चांतर्न बहिर्यस्य न पूर्वं नापि चापरम् पूर्वापरं बहिश्चान्तर् जगतो यो जगच्चयः तमत्वात्मजम् अव्यक्तम् मर्त्यं लिंगम् अदोक्षजम् गोपिका लुखले दाम्ना बबंध प्राकृतम यथा नचान पर्पट बाय श्रील प्रभुपाद। द सुप्रीम पर्सनैलिटी ऑफ गॉड हेड हैज नो बिगनिंग एंड नो एंड, नो एक्सटेरियर एंड नो इंटेरियर, नो फ्रंट एंड नो रेयर। इन अदर वर्ड्स, ही इज ऑल परवेडिंग बिकॉज ही इज नॉट अंडर द इन्फ्लुएंस ऑफ द एलिमेंट ऑफ टाइम। फॉर हिम there is no difference between past, present and future. He exists in his own transcendental form at all times. Being absolute beyond relativity, he is free from distinctions between cause and effect. Although he is the cause and effect of everything, that unmanifested person who is beyond the perception of senses had now appeared as a human child, and Mother Yashoda, considering him her own ordinary child, bound him to the wooden mortar with a rope. Purport. In Bhagavad Gita 10.12, Krishna is described as the Supreme Brahman, Param Brahma, Param Dhamma. The word Brahma means the greatest. Krishna is greater than the greatest, being unlimited and all-pervading. How can it be possible for the all-pervading to be measured or bound? Then again, Krishna is the time factor. Therefore, he is all-pervading not only in space but also in time. We have measurements of time, but although we are limited by past, present and future, for Krishna these do not exist. Every individual person can be measured, but Krishna has already shown that although he also is an individual, the entire cosmic manifestation is within his mouth. All these points considered, Krishna cannot be measured. How then did Yashoda want to measure him and mind him? We must conclude that this took place simply on the platform of pure transcendental love. This was the only cause. Advaitam achyutam anadim anantarupam adhyam purana purusham navayovanam cha vedesu durlabham adurlabham atma bhakto govindam adi purusham tamaham bhajami brahma samhita. Everything is one because Krishna is the supreme cause of everything. Krishna cannot be measured or calculated by Vedic knowledge. Vedesu durlabham. He is available only to devotees. Adurlabham atma bhakto. Devotees can handle him because they act on the basis of loving service. Bhaktya mam avijananti yavanyascha smitattvatah. Thus, Mother Yashoda wanted to bind him. Hare Krishna. So with blessings of all devotees, like to speak. This is a very, actually I was supposed to speak on some other day. It was exchanged. And to my good or bad fortune, I don't know, all this space, time, all these things, stuff are coming in the translation, purport, Prabhupada elaborating them in the purport also. Space, time, all these scientific concepts. And I was thinking Gaurang Prabhu is in Vada. So I'll try to do a little bit. We have just half hour. And, so in this verse we see how Krishna is described in a very in a way that the intelligence cannot make any thing out of these statements. It's like all confusing. But that's what in a very sweet pastime like Damodar Leela, the Sukadeva Goswami and all these great devotees, Paramahamsas, they don't lose the track of describing what this Supreme Personality of Godhead is. It's not just some, like yesterday Brajavirpa was, he was quoting Radhika Vallabha saying how philosophy itself is not so nice, you know. They're like, but they're like camphor and saffron. If you take saffron in the mouth directly, it is very bitter. But if you add to sweet rice, camphor to sweet rice, so the sweet pastimes, when you add such thing, then this depth and the depth of love that Mother Yashoda is carrying will be appreciated. Because otherwise for us to have such kind of love is practically impossible. So knowing Krishna's greatness, we can understand how great love of Mother Yashoda is, so that she can actually bind in Krishna. So in previous verse we saw that how not only Mother Yashoda actually cut Krishna, like previous verse of Brahma Samhita says, Panthastu koti satavastara sampragamyo, that even if the yogis travel at the speed of mind, which is faster than light, still they can't catch Krishna. And we'll see, while trying to find out, figure out what is time, the conclusion of scientists that you cannot travel as fast as light, what to speak of faster than light. But yogis who travel faster than light, in the speed of mind, even they can't catch Krishna, how to speak of touching him. But Mother Yashoda not only caught him, but also scolded Krishna. She was chastising Krishna. Whereas great, great personalities like Brahma, Shiva, Shambhu, all these personalities, Ganesh, we chanting Jagannath Ashtakam, they are always glorifying Krishna. They cannot dare to, you know, chastise Krishna. It is very difficult, impossible actually. But here Mother Yashoda not only catching him, but scolding him. And she is trying to bind. So in this particular verse it is explained, what is Krishna, what is his extent, but to that very person Mother Yashoda is about to, she is attempting to bind with rope now. And it is explained that to bind something you have to measure. Suppose I have to bind this bound like this with this rope, so you must know how far it is, so that accordingly bring a rope which will bind it. So before Mother Yashoda is about to bind, Sukadeva Goswami is giving a description of his extent, to whom she is going to about to bind. Therefore, how much that rasi or the, you know, that rope is required will be explained in the previous next verses. So that we don't get bewildered, why she is requiring so much ropes, because the extent is like this. It's infinitely vast. So two things is required basically to bind, is that you need a rope and actually you need some time to go around. So two things are there. So when we read these verses, actually if you see in these shlokas, the time is not mentioned. We read word to word meaning also. It's speaking about extent basically, or the space. But in the translation, Prabhupada is bringing in the concept of time also, space and time together. I don't know what was in his heart or mind, but very clearly, and he says, he is not under the influence of element of time. For him there is no difference between past, present and future. So only a limited thing can be surrounded, or can be surrounded by another thing. Something is limited, then we can surround it with another thing. But if something is unlimited, then how will we surround it with another thing? So in this way, this confusion is there. But Srila Vaishnava Chakravarti Thakur Pada explains that although Krishna is the person who binds everyone, every living entity in this world with the three modes of material nature, he binds everyone. And therefore, because we are already caught up in these ropes, then if we are not free, how we can bind somebody else? Because we are already bound by these modes of nature with so many desires and all these dualities. So how can we think of binding Krishna? So Mother Yashoda is first of all definitely beyond these three modes. She is free. And she has so much love, she can actually attempt to bind Krishna. So Krishna binds everyone, but here somebody is actually trying to bind him and is becoming successful also. So in this way we see this pastime is very, started in a very nice way, sweet way, but it's getting very deep. And by regular hearing of these pastimes, actually we can break these bonds to these three modes of material nature and get free. So Krishna's pastimes, hearing them, and this like yesterday Brajveer Prabhu was saying that how this particular pastime is celebrated for 1 month. Or Janmashtami is celebrated for 1 or 2 days. But this festival is celebrated for 1 month. So in spiritual celebrations, festivals, we see just by participating in them and releasing these pastimes, releasing these festivals, one can actually break free. One can actually go beyond these modes of material nature and attain freedom. Mukti and bhakti, all these things can be attained. Whereas the celebrations of material world, which is colored by three modes of material nature, will always drag us in a more and more bondage state. And there is little chance that we can escape, rather we get bound to this world more in a more intricate ways. Therefore, when we hear the pastimes and celebrate these festivals of Krishna's pastimes, we get gradually liberated from this world. So, before I go to this subject of time and space, a little bit speak on this so that you stay awake. Recently, this Dahi Chuda festival passed by, and in our Bhagavatam class it is not yet discussed. So I thought to speak a little bit about this. Because in that particular pastime we see how Raghunath Das Goswami, by celebrating this Dahi Chuda festival, he became free. He became free from the this bondage to this world. So therefore, these things are connecting in that way. So it is explained, Raghunath Das Goswami wanted to, from the very childhood, he received the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and in very childhood he wanted to leave everything and go and serve him. But somehow it was never happening. Every time he tried to leave, his parents got him married also, and every time he was trying to leave, somebody would catch him and bring him back. So he was not successful in his attempt to go and serve lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Every time he was trying, he was failing. So then in the meantime, it is explained that how he was told by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that he should serve externally, but internally he should reflect on Krishna all the time. Act like a businessman, and he was doing it. He was doing it perfectly. That whole entire thing is actually displayed in that pastime, how his father and uncle were chased by this Chaudhary, who was the government man, minister's man, and Raghunath Das Goswami was caught in the whole episode, and he convinced him and the whole matter was settled in a very diplomatic and business, so good business deal he did. Everybody was satisfied in that deal. And then while he was living like this, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually told Nityananda Prabhu in Jagannath Puri his desire. He said, both you and I have descended to deliver the fallen souls in the age of Kali, which is practically impossible to deliver. So if you and I both stay here in Jagannath Puri and celebrate Athayatra, all these yatras and everything, and enjoy the pastimes in this way, who's going to deliver them? So therefore you must leave and do this particular purpose for which you have incarnated. And Lord Nityananda very happily accepted that, although he has to be separated, but he accepted to please and honor Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he left with his associates. And while they are going to Bengal, it is explained in Chaitanya Bhagavat that they were so much absorbed in kirtan, while doing kirtan, they went far ahead from their destination. They are just absorbed in kirtan. So many pastimes are described actually, how they are absorbed. And after moving so far, they then thought, where are we? We should go towards Ganga. So they asked somebody, what is the direction to Ganga? They said, we left behind 20 miles before, so we go behind. Then said, okay, no problem. They did their kirtan anyway and went behind. Then again went far into, other direction. Again they said, where is Ganga? Where is Ganga? They said, we have come back so far. Again you have to travel 3-4 hours in this eastern direction. Then they went the eastern direction. But again they missed. In this they missed several times, but every time somebody said it is here and there, they would look at each other and smile at each other. And they're always absorbed in kirtan. And again go, proceed. In this, while doing so many, random things, finally they arrived in Panihati without knowing how they arrived in Panihati. So in one sense we see, when they're absorbed in Krishna, this time factor is not affecting them. And they're not disturbed. Late or early or this thing, that thing. This is reached. And when they are doing kirtan and all these pastimes are happening there, how he was dancing, it is said when Nityananda Prabhu was dancing in Panihati Raghupandit's house, he was in so much ecstasy, he moved his feet so fast, the earth started spinning faster. And sometimes it's globe dancing, you have seen. On the globe somebody dances, on football they dance, and the football spins faster. Nityananda Prabhu danced so fast that the earth started spinning faster. So all the day became, quickly, whatever it was happening. And then Raghunath Das Goswami came to know that Nityananda Prabhu is here with his associates. So he decided, I cannot go to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu so far, let me at least approach Lord Nityananda. And when he reached, from a distance, Lord Nityananda Prabhu was sitting under a banyan tree with all his beautiful effulgent associates. It's a beautiful sight. And from a distance, with all respect, he paid his humble obeisances. And when the obeisances was paid, then Nityananda Prabhu's associate saw that and draw Nityananda Prabhu's attention towards Raghunath Das Goswami by saying, Lord, see here, Raghunath is paying obeisances to you. And immediately Lord Nityananda said, so finally the thief has arrived. Bring the thief here and I will punish him. So His Holiness Bhakti Charu Maharaj, he was actually explaining that why he called him thief. But before that, he said, the punishment is that you offer Dahi Chuda to me and my associates. And this is a very, very simplest item. It's like, typical Eastern, Orissa, Bengal. This is a typical fast food. Just soak in water, add some dahi, some sugar. It's ready in 2-3 minutes. Fast food. So he said, you feed us this Dahi Chuda, which is the very cheapest item, but by offering that Dahi Chuda with a lot of love and affection, immediately he brought, of course, all the finest ingredients, condensed milk and soaked poha, that chipped rice, in milk, not in water. Soaked in milk and put condensed milk and the very first-class yogurt, everything, all the camphor, everything was added. Kaviraj Goswami describes the whole recipe in that Chaitanya Charitamrita verses. And it was offered to Nityananda Prabhu's associates and many other who joined. Whoever came, it was given to them. Even the people who heard that so much chuda is required for the festival, many businessmen came with their stock of chuda to that particular spot. So Nitya Raghunath Das Goswami purchased from them and made them fed also. He fed them also. Like that, this festival was happening in a very gorgeous way. Although the items are very simple, it was happening very gorgeous and with a lot of fun and happiness. And while doing that, he attended the Marsha of Nityan Prabhu. And then he was liberated. Then Bhaktacharya Maharaj explains why Nityan Prabhu calls him a thief. Because earlier, without his permission, Nityan Prabhu's permission, he was trying to attain Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is actually property of Nityananda Prabhu, therefore, he said, you are trying to attain my property without my permission, therefore, you are a thief. Just like it is explained by, I think, that Nithai Pada Kamala, that particular, what do you call, poem or song, Vaishnava song, said, Gheno Nithai Binenai Radha Krishna Paitenai. That without the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu, one cannot attend to Radha Krishna, one cannot serve Radha Krishna. So, Radha Krishna, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nayana. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is actually Radha Krishna, combined form. And here, Raghunath Das Goswami is trying to serve them, trying to attend to their love, loving service, devotional service, without permission of Nityananda Prabhu. But anyway, Nityananda Prabhu very mercifully gives it. So therefore, without mercy of Lord Nityananda and his associates, his representatives, Guru, we can never attain the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Radha Krishna. So therefore, he was called a thief. And when this thing happened, this whole festival happened, he received the Lord Nityananda Prabhu, actually placed his lotus feet on Raghunath Das Goswami's head and blessed him with all kind of blessings. And next time when he attempted to leave his home and reach Jagannath Puri, there was no problem at all. It was a smooth journey to Puri. And immediately Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted him. Previously, he was trying to go to him. He said, no, you stay back and do your household duties. But think about Krishna. He didn't allow him to come. But after having Nityananda Prabhu's blessings, immediately he was allowed. So in this way, we see in this particular pastime how that festivals and service to devotees and great personalities liberates a person, and gradually he can attend to Krishna's love. And actually then we can understand and appreciate these great pastimes of Mother Yashoda and Krishna, Damodar Leela. So here a little bit which I was thinking to speak about this space and time. In the verse, it is explained that Krishna has no beginning or no end, no exterior or no interior, no front or no rear. So this is a very strange thing about. So when you look into the sky, into this entire creation, we get stuck with where it begins and where it ends. And also, regarding time, how does this time function? What is its relation to space? These are very fundamental questions which trouble the scientist almost more than 4 or 5 centuries. From the day they started thinking about it seriously, till date it is not resolved. It's very strange. Especially the time is very strange. It is said, time is ticking away. It's ticking away, tick, tick, tick. And we humans are chasing time with clocks and pendulums to try to measure it. So although it is a fact, although we can kind of experience the presence of time in one way or other, but we cannot catch it to experiment on it. We cannot experiment with time. Or we cannot seize it. Or we cannot hold it in somewhere or other to do experiments or to understand what it is. And after so much of analysis, even Einstein said, time doesn't exist. it's actually illusory. And some say, how can it be so? We can experience time. Its effect we can experience. How do you know something is existing by its effect? So many things are there, but little bit I'll discuss that how the concept of time, understanding of it gradually changed over centuries. Normally, you know, historically time is related with the motion or shifting of objects or happening of events. Sunrise to sunset. So sun rising, one event, sun setting, another event. So duration between is called some time has passed. Something is moving in this space. Because of movements, we say time is there. Or time has to be there. Otherwise, how will you understand these things? So somebody thinking, if everything stops, everything just stands still, just seizes everything, there is total stop, will time still be there? Time, was it existing before the creation started? Or it is just an emergent property, like something, you take a plastic ball, rubber ball, the atoms within that balls are not elastic. But when they come together, the electricity is produced within that object. So is it an emergent property of the universe? Because things are happening, therefore time is there. If it doesn't happen, it will not be there. Or things are happening in a particular way, therefore time is there. It would happen in another way, probably it would not be there. So there are so many discussions and questions like that. Anyway, simply speaking, this time that Newton understood, the previous Galileo, all these people, they understood is that because there is motion, therefore there is time. To understand the speed and to predict future, to understand the universe, this time is distance by velocity. Or speed is distance by time, and time is measured through movement of sun, moon and everything. And it was concluded that no matter who is observing whatever observations, something is moving. Suppose a car is moving, whoever observes the speed, it will be different by different observers. Somebody is driving a car, and another person is also driving a car at different speed, and another person is standing on the road. So all three of them will observe three different speeds because they are moving at different speeds. But the time will be registered same in everybody's clock. That was decided. It will be same. It will not change. So while observing the speed of different objects, and they try to understand the speed of light. Light is another inconceivable, it's a very strange reality. This is very difficult to understand. Because if two persons are moving in two different cars, and a third person is standing outside, all the three of them will observe different speeds. And suppose one person throws a ball out of the vehicle while passing by, again, all the three will observe three different speeds of the ball. But now, if somebody throws a torch of light from the vehicle, everybody should observe a different speed of the light, right? Because they're traveling at different speeds. But it was found, no matter who's moving at what speed, light speed is always the same, whoever observes it. So this really confuses the mind of scientists. What is this? What is this light? So how to understand this? So then what Einstein did, he did a revolution basically. He said, why it is constant? Because you are thinking time is same in everybody's clock. Actually time is not same. Different observers have different clock. The way you are moving will decide how fast your clock moves. If you are moving faster, your time will slow down. Therefore the speed of light you will observe will be the same. Isn't it simple? It's a very simple thing. But nobody understood till Einstein said this simple thing that time is different observers. That's it. So he said that time is a relative concept, it is not an absolute thing, as Newton thought. So therefore, although in our shastras there are many episodes are there where this time concepts are actually different. Like Indradyumna Maharaj, he goes to invite Lord Brahma for the first arati of Jagannath in Puri. He goes, spends few moments in his space, in his area, and when he comes back, millions of ages passed by here. So these are explained, but without giving any equations. Because why the scientists want to know these equations and understand God, His extent, how He controls through time? Because if we understand, then we will act like God. We will be enjoyed like Him. So that is the whole craving to know and understand, because we want to play the role of God. But the thing is, there are certain realities we cannot even fathom. So, when they understood time is relative, but still in certain areas, this Einstein's concepts doesn't work. They fail actually. So they don't know whether to accept it or not accept it. And then there is also something called time has a direction. But in according to scientists' equations, time doesn't have a direction. It's just a duration, that's all. Duration cannot have directions. But if you run a movie in a backward way, suppose there is a movie and you run it a backward way, any child will say this is the wrong direction. Because everything that happens, every event has a direction attached to it. It is inherently attached. So therefore time has a direction. Whereas these equations don't speak about it at all. So they get confused. What is this time? So there are so many things actually. I'll just give some conclusion about this. What they think about this time. So it seems, this is the conclusion of the greatest scientist of the centuries. So it seems that we are no closer to understanding what time is than Newton was. So Newton thought it some way, they thought it another way. Now they are saying that we don't know much better than Newton. Then he says, perhaps we understand it even less than Newton. But then, perhaps the job of the scientist isn't so fully explain the universe, but merely to describe it. They don't explain the universe, they just describe it. You postulate a theory, usually in the form of mathematical equations, and then you test it against reality. So reality is, light is constant, but our equation doesn't fit, therefore we find out new equations. Then something else comes up, then again you get confused. No matter what we describe, the inherent thing, why it is so, the way it is, very difficult to understand. There is no explanation. So whether it's fundamental, emergent, or just a set of correlation in disguise, the fact is that something we call time manifests itself undeniably, and we all know about it. So therefore, it is there, but very difficult to understand. But Lord Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, there is whole one chapter, 11th chapter is about Kala. And time and space, everything is actually combined in that chapter, Virat Rup. Where Krishna says, time I am, destroyer of everything. He describes time in this simple definition. That time I am, that Kala is I myself. I manifest in the form of Kala to destroy everything. So sometimes we speak about this, we say time bomb. But actually time is bomb. Because it is destroying, every second it is destroying. But it is very, very, kind of controlled. Krishna is controlling that. It's destroying, step by step by step. Every moment is destroying. And Lord Krishna, like Prabhupada also explains, our acharyas explain, time is Krishna's energy. It's not a duration. Duration is actually illusory. Duration is actually illusory. The passing of time is actually illusory. It's just different events happening. So that Einstein, it was tough for Einstein to accept time as a something that exists. It was very difficult. When he tries to understand time from his equations, it's difficult to understand because it is not like that. But nevertheless, it acts and it destroys, changes things. It it allows the events to happen. Once it allows the events to happen, it can be reversed back. So we cannot go reverse. So although there is a, the Prabhupada says, for Krishna there is no past, present and future. It's like we are seeing past, present, future because we are conscious of present and we have memory of past and we don't know future, therefore we worry. But suppose, just think of a person whose entire life is actually filmed in a movie. And when you look at the movie as a whole thing, you don't see that he had a future or a past. Everything is right in front of you. Different events are happening, that's it. So therefore, so Lord Krishna, who is above this creation, beyond this space and time, so therefore this space and time cannot bind him. And who is beyond this, therefore, he can see everything very clear. And for him there is no past, present and future. And also, Einstein says another thing, that because of gravity, not only the time slows down, but higher gravitational field, like say the black hole and things like that, where time doesn't exist. This physical time. And he says, because of gravity, this space also curves down. This space, this empty spaces, they also curves. And it's explained that therefore, just like on earth, if you're trying to walk in one direction, thinking that you'll fall off, you'll never fall off. You come back to the same point. Because it is curved, it's spherical. So this space is also spherical, this creation, according to his understanding. And even if you try to escape from this entire universe, and if you suppose go in a straight direction in a rocket, which has unlimited fuel, suppose you go like this, and one day we'll come back to the same point. You cannot escape. So there is no escape. The three modes of material nature binds in such a tight way, there is no freedom, and only through this humble submission and understanding of Krishna's, this is real knowledge, because it speaks the whole thing, how to we can understand and escape. So all the Bhagavatam speak about simple pastimes, but there are certain facts which clears the confusion the whole human being are facing since centuries. It's like that. So if we try to understand and appreciate and practice the process that is given, without flying in a rocket we can escape this creation. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Thank you for tolerating. Hare Krishna.